Morning. Hope everybody had a good summer. Good to be in training camp. Got off to a decent start there yesterday, the first day of pads. Hopefully we'll follow it up here today with another good day. Just try to start stringing a few things together. Players will be off on Monday, and then we'll practice, you know, a few more times next week before we head down to Washington. So, and hopefully be a good week, make some progress. On the roster, made a few transactions this morning. Greg Orton, he'll probably end up on injured reserve, but we'll release him this morning, injured. And then we signed two receivers last night, Cole Stanford and Brian Timms. So that puts the roster at 90. So we'll go out there today. You know, like I said, had a decent day yesterday. You know, it's good to be outside. It's good to get moving. You know, the fan support's been awesome. You know, I mean, it's been incredible, the amount of people that have been out there excited about football. We're all excited about the season. So, you know, we'll try to keep making some progress and, you know, try to keep putting the team together. So it's kind of where we are here for today.
Nick, what drew you to Brian Stork in the scouting process?
Yeah, Brian was, you know, been a pretty durable player. Started, I want to say, 50-some-odd games. You know, played a lot of football. You know, played against good people. It's a good team they have down there at Florida State. I mean, you know, obviously they won the national championship last year. But, you know, smart guy, tough, you know, had good playing strength. Had a good playing style, good demeanor. So, you know, he did a lot of good things. And, you know, there was a lot to like about him.
Center in the when you're drafting a center, like just the position itself, what's been your experience scouting that position? Is it sort of like quarterback, like there's not maybe not that many that will fit for you every year, or how does that work?
I'd say just generally speaking at that position, Mike, you know, we've gone through the years, and if you look at a lot of the guys that have played on the interior of the offensive line, a lot of them have the same sort of traits and sort of makeup in terms of their intelligence, their toughness, their playing style, their work ethic, their competitiveness. You know, guys like Joe Andruzzi, you know, Russ Hochstein, you know, those guys, you know, I mean, they weren't drafted, or Russ might have been a late-round draft, I can't remember. But anyways, right, you know, Joe wasn't drafted. But those guys had a certain demeanor and a certain mentality. And we try to, once we get them in a program, I mean, you know, through the years, we've been able to, Dante, you know, spend a lot of time with those players. So you try to look at some of those traits and some of those things, and then you look at their physical skills and what they actually do on the field. Some maybe do certain things a little bit better than others. But I'd say just generally speaking, that position, you know, there are certain things that have kind of carried over through the years with the guys that, you know, we've brought in here that have had some success. And the guys that maybe haven't worked out. So,
Nick, with Revis and Browner, they're bigger and more physical cornerbacks than you guys have had in the past. Was their signing maybe part of a change of philosophy from you guys on what an ideal quarterback should be in today's game?
No, I think our philosophy is the same every year. We try to look at our team, try to improve our team, and, you know, do what we think is in, you know, our best interest. Those guys have been successful in their systems that they've played in. They're in a new system. They're in, you know, with a new team. So, no real change in terms of what we look for. Their measurables may be a little bit different, but, I mean, there's really no change in terms of how we approached it. Yeah, Roy was a player that he's good with the ball in his hands. He's got pretty good quickness. And when you have, I would say, not necessarily a running back position, but even some of the other positions, when you have players that maybe are a little bit undersized relative to some other players of their position, you look for some qualities that stand out that may separate themselves from, you know, somebody else. Like, even going back to, like, Tyrone Poole, I mean, just talking about corners, you know, Tyrone was 5'8", you know, wasn't the biggest guy, 180 pounds, but he had exceptional lateral agility and quickness, and he was able to compensate maybe for his size because of his quickness, and he had good vertical speed, and then he could play the ball. So, when a guy's maybe a little bit smaller at one position relative to the other, you look for maybe a skill that separates themselves. And Roy, his ability to just move laterally, and he was good with the ball in his hands. I mean, they played a lot of running backs at Oklahoma, and, you know, when he got touches, you know, he was able to make some plays in space. So I would say those are just some of the things relative to Roy.
Sorry to follow up from my previous question real quick. So the success that the Seahawks had last year, both in general on the defense and against the Broncos in the Super Bowl with their physical corners, did that play into getting more physical quarterbacks this year?
No, I think we just look at our team and we try to find players that we think are going to help our football team, regardless of who they played for, regardless of where they come from. I mean, it really is there's no bearing on it.
When you do have a player like Darrell or anybody who's got kind of maybe a special skill set, can it change the way you play because you're trying to maybe accommodate that player or make it so your best player is doing the things that he does best?
Yeah, I think the last point that you made there, Albert, you know, when we go into a game, really each week, we're, you know, is the game plan changes week to week. So you figure out who you're playing against, what are we trying to stop, what are we trying to take away, and then the game plan is implemented, you know, based on those types of things. And so you try to deploy your players and deploy your assets the best you can. Certain weeks it may be one thing, other weeks it may be another thing. So you really have to just – you have the player, you know, whatever their skills, whatever they do well, you try to put them in a position where they can be successful to utilize those and then look at, okay, who are we playing? Okay, how does that particular skill, how does that player match up relative to some other player? So it's really week to week and it's really based on, you know, the opponent, which those get into some more of the game plan type specific things once we get into the season.
I heard Bill Parcells, you know, had this theory way, the planet theory way back, him and George Young, where there are only so many guys on the planet who can do this. And I would guess that Revis kind of fits into that category. When you have a player like that, and I'm assuming, again, that Darrell fits into that, that would you do things to adjust the way you play to accommodate him specifically? And not just Darrell, but any player who kind of fits into that category.
Yeah, I think the approach is what do we need to do to help us win the football game, and that's what we'll try to do, whether it's offensively, defensively, or in the kicking game.
Bill mentioned the other day that early on in camp is really sort of a time for teaching. I know you guys are probably evaluating all the time, but is there a line of demarcation or a day or a point in time where you say, okay, you know, these guys have learned a certain amount at this point, need to get into the nitty-gritty evaluation now at this point?
It's really a fluid process. I mean, it's really ongoing because you take players, you know, even if it's veteran players, or really going back to May when you start, you know, with the team, you start to go out there and practice. So you go through the spring, you see how players develop, how they evolve, what they can retain, and then you go into training camp, and you're still trying to build that foundation. And like Bill mentioned, there's a lot of teaching, and really there's a lot of focus on the fundamental techniques as it relates to their particular position, which once you get into pads, then you start to see some of those things, especially in a running game, because all spring you can work on a passing game. I mean, there's no contact. The offensive and defensive linemen, they really can't do much. So it's really still you're evaluating their techniques and they're working on their fundamentals, and the evaluation process is very fluid. It's really ongoing. And then once we get to a point where we have to make a decision about a player or about the team in September in preparation for the season, I mean, that's not the end of it, you know, because then there's, you know, and a whole set of other players that you evaluate, you get into the season. So there's a lot of different factors. So it's a very fluid process, and it's really continuous.
Nick, what have you seen out of the rookie quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo? Obviously, he struggled a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at really any player on the field, regardless of the position, quarterback, receiver, running back, I mean, everybody's going to have their share of good plays, and everybody's going to have their plays that, you know, maybe aren't as good. That's part of the process. Some players have done those plays a little bit more than others. Some players, this is the first time executing a particular play, a particular skill. So the most important thing is for the player that when they take it's kind of a multi-tiered process. So you meet in the morning, you install, you go through the process, you go on the field, you execute the play. Hopefully you execute it at a high level. If you don't execute it at a good level, then you go back in, you watch the film, you make the correction, and then you look to see, okay, is there improvement? You know, did we learn from what we did previously? So really that's what you're looking for with any player. So it's not specific to a position or to a player. That's just the approach, you know, to the team, I would say.
With that process, though, right now?
I mean, I think everybody's at the same stage right now. I mean, we've been out there one day in pads. So, I mean, you want to talk about just the quarterback position. You know, that position gets magnified because they touch the ball on every play. So the ball's in their hand. They're making a decision. They're making a read. There's a lot of other people that are involved in the play. I mean, you have five, you know, you got the tight ends, you got the receivers, you got the running back. So part of it is, are they doing their job as well? So it all has to fit together. So there's a lot of moving parts in every play. So it's a step-by-step process. And like I said, going back to my earlier point, you're really just trying to establish a foundation, build on that, go out there, execute it. hopefully if you make a mistake, eliminate the mistake or figure out why you made the mistake and then move forward to the next play.
With that in mind, Nick, because it's the quarterback position and they're assimilating not only their role but other players' roles in the offense, do you have to evaluate them or give them more time, more slack than any other rookie picking up the system?
No, I mean, at certain positions, they're going to have a little bit more volume, and there are a few more things as it relates to the position. But really, the most important thing for any, you know, you want to talk about any player that comes into a new program or new system is kind of learn the way we do things, learn the operation, learn your skill, refine your skill, go out there, perform the task, your skill, execute, and then move on. And really, what the most important thing is to try to see the players that are consistent on a day-to-day basis that make the improvements. And look, there's going to be some good plays, there's going to be some bad plays. That's football. I mean, that's just the nature of what we're doing. So the idea is to hopefully minimize those and eliminate them the best you can and then continue to move forward.
Nick, what's your thoughts on the team's depth at tight end?
Go ahead.
What are your thoughts on the team's depth right now at tight end position?
Yeah, we've had a lot of players. I mean, you know, Hooman played a lot of snaps for us last year. You know, Rob, when he's on the field, he's given us a lot of good production. You know, we have, you know, a number of young guys that we're working with. So, I mean, look, we're all in the same boat. I mean, everybody's going out there to try to improve at their position. I mean, the guys we brought them in here because we felt that they, you know, had something that was appealing and they had a particular skill. So we'll keep working with them and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
With James Devlin, we've seen a lot of James working with tight ends recently in passing camp. But also last couple days too. What are some of the skills that he has that allows him to do that versus fullback?
Sure. The unique thing about James, I mean, he's a very versatile player, and we saw that even going back to last season. You know, he's able to line up in a backfield at tight end, detached from the formation. You know, James is very smart, worked very, very hard. I mean, he had a great off. I mean, there's a lot of guys, but just relative specific to James, had a great off season, and really as a player, from day one that he entered the program to where he is now, he's really improved. And a lot of that, he's put in a lot of time, and it's a credit to him. But he's smart, he's versatile, so he gives you a little bit of flexibility because he can do a number of different things. He can block the force in a running game. He can put his hand down the line of scrimmage and block the force on the line of scrimmage. You know, like in a Baltimore game, we lined him up there out, you know, kind of detached from the formation. You know, we ran the, you know, route with he and Vereen. And because he was able to execute his assignment, you know, Shane was able, you know, we had a play there. So, I mean, James has done a lot of good things since he's been here, and he's earned all of his opportunities with his performance and his work ethic. All right.
Thanks.